You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Welcome to the CEO Series. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University. Each week, the CEO Series takes you inside the minds and lives of some of Canada, indeed the world's top leaders, to discuss strategy, leadership, and today's pressing issues. And some of the world's top leaders have spent time with us, like Justin Trudeau, Muhammad Yunus Nobel Peace Prize winner, and Dr. Joanne Liu, International President of Doctors Without Borders. This show gives you a thin, well, perhaps not so thin slice of the kind of thoughtful leaders leading some of today's most successful businesses. Today, I'm delighted to be speaking with Denis Ricard, President and CEO of IA, or Industrial Alliance Financial Group, one of the largest insurance and wealth management groups in Canada, with operations now in the U.S. in Quebec City. Denis, thank you for joining us today.
It's a great pleasure to be with you today.
Tell us about your early years. Where did you grow up? What did your family do for a living back in the day?
So I come from a place called Shawinigan in between, Quebec and Montreal, Quebec City and Montreal. And I grew up there with a great family. My father used to be a teacher. My mother was working from home at the time. And so we had a great, I had a great time there. So this is what happened there.
So a fairly humble background. I guess the Shawinigan is most famous for Jean Chrétien, of course.
Yeah.
So that's, have you ever ran into the former prime minister or?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I've got a cottage at the Lac des Piles where Jean Chrétien, has a has a cottage. So yeah, from time to time, I would see him, yeah.
You know, I've met him a few times, very charming man. In some ways, very, it kind of captures Shawinigan, kind of down to earth, real people, not kind of putting airs on at all. What did you want to do growing up, if you can remember as a kid? What was your dream growing up to be?
It's funny because one of the things that I really enjoyed when I was younger was music. And so I played music, I played saxophone, and, for a long time. And I had the decision, I had to make a decision when I got 19, whether I would be a musician in my life or something else. And I really loved at the time mathematics. I was good, obviously I had good grades at the time on that. And for some reason, I met someone at the college, someone who would coach us as to, decide what you would do in your life, things like that. And he made me realize there was this profession called actuary. And I read about it. I visited the Laval University, which has a great course there. And I fell in love with this program. And I decided not to go in music and go in actuarial science. And that it's my father who basically told me, he was the breaking point there. He said to me, well, you know what? If you go in actuarial science, you'll be able to do music. But if you go in music, you won't be able to do actuarial stuff.
So tenor, alto, or baritone? Sax?
Oh, actually, I used to play all of them, soprano, alto, tenor, or baritone.
Okay.
But my specialty is alto. And now I've got, all other kinds, except the baritone. Baritone, you would rent it. It's so big, you don't play that often.
I have a tenor sax at home. I hope you do better than I do. Do you ever play it, your alto?
If I do play, I still have courses.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So have you ever played for the employees? I may put you under
yes,
pressure here to
absolutely.
Perform.
Absolutely. Well, actually, we organized, it was a couple of years before the pandemic. There was this concert that was organized for United Way and also the Christmas party. So there was a band at IE, and I joined them. So it was quite funny.
So your employees were probably genuinely surprised that you're actually pretty good.
Well, I guess they were.
Yeah, no,
and we had fun.
Yeah, no, for sure. So you studied actuarial science at Laval, I take it?
Yes.
Okay. What was your first job at a Laval University?
After Laval, after I finished my course?
Yeah.
I started at IA in Quebec City 37 years ago and enjoyed it since then. I mean, and the reason why I joined IA at the time is, first of all, I wanted to stay in Quebec City because at the time I would call it my future spouse was studying here. But at the time, it was Industrial Life. It was not even Industrial Alliance.
Okay.
Because the alliance comes from a merger after that. They had a great reputation of having A players. And that's something that really kept me in the organization also across along the years. The competency of the leaders at this organization.
Today, we're in Quebec City speaking with Denis Ricard, CEO of IA Financial Group. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO series.
You're clearly a leader today as a CEO of a big company. When did you first say to yourself, Denny, maybe I'm a leader? Was that in high school or even earlier, perhaps?
Well, I would say that I was a leader in expertise when I was younger, you know, like mastering expertise stuff, you know, like mathematics or any other, you know, matter in the at school. So people would come to me naturally, you know, for help. And when I was at the campus of Laval University, I had almost a lineup before exams, people coming to my to my room,
okay,
to get advice or things like that. So I realized that I could help. I realized that I could help others grow. And to me, it's been a driver as a leader. To me, it's one of the big qualities, being able to help others grow in what they're doing. Grow professionally, but I would say also grow personally.
You've had other opportunities come along the way. Headhunters, recruiters would call from time to time. What's kept you, and you may have already touched on it in a way, at IA all those years?
Well, two things. The first I already mentioned, the competency. I was surrounded by so many competent people, I just couldn't leave. And I had met people from other organizations, from other, let's say, cities like Toronto, I mean, actuaries from other places at the time. And I felt that, you know, the qualities of the, you know, people here, whether they were experts or leaders, were absolutely amazing. That was the first reason. The second reason is that I was mentored by the previous CEO, Yvon Charest, and he helped me across all my career. He changed job himself, you know, during, you know, his tenure at IE. He spent almost 40 years at IE. So he changed job. I changed, you know, jobs as well. From time to time, he would become my boss again. So we had a great time during all those years. And it's just that whenever I had an issue or a problem, I could go to him and he would help me.
You study actuarial science. Do you still use that today? I mean, you learned it, not to rub it in, 40 years ago, and it's changed in 40 years. Is there still some principles of what you learned at Laval that come into your work today?
Yeah, a lot, I would say. I mean, being the CEO of a life insurer also means that you need to master some of these financial stuff. It's quite complicated, and now we've got like a new accounting regime coming in 2023 called IFRS 17. So when you're alone by yourself in front of investors, in front of financial analysts, you don't have this, your CFO besides you. You need to be credible as the leader of such an organization. So in those moments, I really feel that I'm using my my skills that I learned when I was younger. And I've always, I mean, obviously I need to spend my time in some other place. But at the same time, I really enjoy doing that, so it's not an effort for me.
Today we're in Quebec City speaking with Denis Ricard, CEO of IAA Financial Group. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO series. How long have you been CEO now?
4 years.
And you, what was your title before that?
I was the chief operating officer for a year before, and then I ran businesses before that. And I used to be the CFO also. So one of the things that to keep in mind at IE is that, and I've said that a lot of time with new people who want to recruit, you don't need to change companies to change your role, your functions. Yeah. And at IE, I would say in average, every 5 years, I would go for another challenge. So I ran businesses. I was a CFO. I did some technical stuff. I worked in IT. Each time you learn a lot.
You were COO, so you were very close to the CEO and you knew at some point you'd be CEO. Is it a bit different than you anticipated actually being the CEO?
It's quite an adaptation to be a CEO. From moving, you used to be, let's say, the colleagues of a group of leaders, and all of a sudden you become the leader of a group of great leaders. So there's been, a 2-year adaptation as far as I'm concerned. To really, I would say, take that role in a sense that you take your personality, you take your vision, and you bring it to the table. Not that you want to, control the whole thing and force it on everyone, but the idea is to be able at some point to be direct enough, not to be nice enough, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't need to be nice. You have to tell what you think, give your vision, give the constraints, and then people work on that environment.
The former CEO had been CEO for years. So it's a bit of a shift to have you come in. But you have to make the job your own. There's a saying that it's lonely at the top, and you have a chair of the board, you have other influencing people, and you have the former CEO to talk to, but in some ways, you're it. You're in a room. I mean, you can talk to your wife, obviously, and get her advice, but, you know, it's something where, who do you turn to for wisdom and advice as CEO?
So, as you see, you're right, it is very lonely at the top. So you need people that you can turn into. And I would say that my chair has been a huge, huge help. I mean, the complicity between a chair of a board and a CEO is key to the success of an organization. That's the first thing. The second thing is, I mean, I know people that are exactly in my chair, like I am in my chair. I mean, CEOs of other organizations.
Yeah.
I talk to them from time to time. Even when the pandemic started, we organized some virtual meetings just to keep in touch because we couldn't see each other. I mean, when I went to Toronto or Montreal, I used to have like lunches or breakfast with people that are doing my job.
Yeah.
And just exchange about what's going on. And it helps a lot. You get a lot of ideas. You can share ideas. And it helps your organization at the end of the day. I mean, the networking is very, very important in a role because as the leader of this organization, I need to be turn externally,
yeah,
to get ideas as to, you know, where is it that we want to go to at some point. So the pandemic has been very difficult at the beginning because it was difficult to get that touch with the external. So that's the second. I turn to people that have experiences like I have.
Today, I'm delighted to be in Quebec City speaking with Denis Ricard, President and CEO of IA Financial Group. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about where is the industry going as a whole.
Top-notch insight from proven leaders. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. We're speaking with Denis Ricard in Quebec City, who's the CEO of the IA Financial Group, one of the largest insurance and wealth management groups in Canada, which is now operating in the U.S. as well. So what does IA Financial Group actually do?
Well, I'll start with our purpose. I mean, why do we exist? And so the answer to that is that we exist such that our clients feel confident and secure about their future.
Okay.
Okay, so that's basically, I mean, what's the why? Why do we exist? But at the end of the day, it has to translate into something concrete. And we are a financial institution so far. I mean, we've been working in that sandbox. So basically, we provide individual and group insurance to Canadians and U.S. citizens, warranty products in dealerships, for example. We have a specialty in that. PNC product, like auto and home product. So, and we are in the wealth management business as well, like, you know, getting prepared for retirement, savings, and things like that. So we've got a full spectrum of financial products. And we do that through the advisors. We truly believe in the value of advice. One of our strengths has been the relationships we've built over the years with distributors across the country, from the most, let's say, dedicated to the most independent ones. We've been able to navigate through the whole spectrum of dedication.
How many employees are there today, roughly?
Roughly 8,500 people, in Canada. Maybe I would say 1,200 in the U.S., the rest in Canada.
How big was it when you joined almost 40 years ago?
Oh, boy. At the time, we were a Quebec insurance company, okay? And we moved towards a North American financial institutions. Huge change. It was very small at the time. I can't remember how many employees were, but we were like hundreds, okay? Not 1,000.
Yeah.
We were only in Quebec. We just started. We just started outside Quebec when I joined the company. So it was all French at the time,
yeah,
because it was in Quebec. But now we are a North American financial institution. We want to grow outside Canada even more.
What was the, was there a leader that really drove that vision and that growth?
Well, I've been fortunate enough to dealt with or have some colleagues that were, I mean, great. There were a couple of them. Certainly, the previous CEO, Mr. Charest, And also one of his right arm, I would say Normand Pépin, who was I would call him the chief growth officer at the time.
Okay.
So the combination of, you know, both were quite different, but there was a great combination of both working together, and they really made a difference over the last 40 years in this organization.
Today we're in Quebec City speaking with Denis Ricard, CEO of IAA Financial Group. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. It's really because it was, you know, you're in Quebec, you're doing well, you're in French. It's a big leap to say we're going to go into English and we're going to leave the province. In some ways, many Quebec companies have done this. And, you know, Ontario companies have come to Quebec, but it takes a certain amount of chutzpah, nerve to do this. How long have you been in the States?
Well, in the States, actually, the first company, I mean, really, the one, we had a small business before, but I would say that 2010 was the first really stronghold that we had there. We bought the company in Waco out of Texas in the individual insurance business.
Okay.
And then we bought a bigger one in 2018 and 2020. So okay. Now it represents, just for your information, it represents about just a bit more than 15% of our earnings. It used to be like nothing in, you know, a few years ago.
So what takes you to the U.S.? What's the opportunity you're looking for there?
It's to leverage our knowledge in Canada in certain businesses like individual insurance and also the dealer services business with car dealers, like like warranty. That's one of the reasons. And why do we go outside Canada? Because Canada is a mature market. For example, in the dealer services business, we're in the top two. And top two control, you know, a big chunk of the market. So there's no space to grow in that business. But in the U.S., it's a fragmented business. So for us, taking our knowledge, it's just exporting out that knowledge and being able to consolidate the market in the U.S. as much as we can.
The pandemic, there was a day and you shut down the offices here, March something or other.
I can tell you, March 13.
So was that that must have been quite the day. This was unique in your career.
It was absolutely crazy. And I must tell you, I realized it. We closed it on Friday. Actually, we knew it on Thursday night.
Yeah.
We told people, you know, bring everything you've got, even your, you know, computer, everything. We're not coming back soon. But the previous Tuesday, so the 3 days before or 2 days before, I realized that was it. It was coming. It was not a question of if, it was a question of when. Because that day we had a case that was, that, you know, here that was to be tested. It was tested, in fact, and the result was to be, taken. The result was to be out at night that Tuesday, and I knew that if it was positive, we would have to send a message to all employees: don't come back tomorrow.
Okay.
And if it was negative, it was like, okay, we've got a few days to prepare.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Then Thursday, it was like everybody leaves. And the next day, in fact, we were even before the government, you know, went to the lockdown. So it was a day prior to that, we decided, well, you know what, stay home. You know, things are going to be pretty bad here.
Today, we're in Quebec City speaking with Denis Ricard, CEO of IAA Financial Group. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Did you have a war cabinet and things like that where you would get together some of your senior people on Zoom or Microsoft or whatever to talk in the first early days?
It was an unbelievable time. We had what we call town halls on a daily basis from 11:30 to 12. I was there from home, but we had a crisis unit here that was working. And every day at 11:30, we would talk about, okay, what's going on? Where are we? And so fortunately, 2 years before, we had already kind of prepared for, not for pandemic, but prepared for the work from anywhere, okay?
Yeah.
So our technology, like the cloud computing, I mean, all these environments have already been changed. We were prepared. Look, we could, on a dime, go, you know, working from home. Yeah, there were some glitches here and there, but actually, it was impressive. So on a daily basis, I had my executive committee meeting at 11:30 and talk about, okay, we are in a crisis. Okay, what we need to do, how is business, how do we help our distributor be more productive and continue the business? And so we did it for, we're still doing that daily, meeting, maybe not 5 days a week, maybe an average 3 days a week, but and now it's moving more towards strategy than just, crisis management. But it's been wonderful. I wanted to do that before the pandemic hit.
Okay.
And it gave me the opportunity to do it all of a sudden.
Why did you want to do this before? What was the thought behind that?
The thought behind that is that we were implementing the lean philosophy in the organization.
Okay.
And the underlying the lean philosophy, you want to make sure that you connect what's going on the floor and it's being decided at the executive committee.
Okay.
So we have we have four level of what we call DMS, the daily meeting. Okay, four level, starting from the people at the floor up to the executive.
Okay.
And first meetings start at 9, for example, on the floor, and then it moves up, and it's in director, VPs, and then the exec.
Okay.
Okay, every day. And then, so the information moves up, but moves down.
Okay.
So there is that communication that we wanted to implement. That was in the whole vision about that philosophy. And because of the pandemic, we basically started, on the dime.
So is it saying that we get thoughts and ideas from the frontline troops? So people actually have to work. Not that you don't work, but they're doing the work of the organization, and then they flag issues and it goes up, and then the more senior people bring their wisdom, their experience to the table. But there's a real learning from the frontline, the young people, is absolutely part of it.
Yeah, that's the principle here. You want to give as much, let's say, freedom to the first line to decide what needs to be done. But obviously, sometimes they have problems that have implications for other sectors that needs to be brought to the other level of these DMS or meetings, and then it moves up like that, and then at some point it becomes strategic, it goes to the executive committee, and that's the way we work. And then it goes down; the information goes down because what people are doing on the floor, you want them to understand why is it that they're doing it. So you want to link it with the strategy at some point.
Today, I'm delighted to be in Quebec City, where my wife is from. Always a pleasure to be here with Denis Ricard, President and CEO of IA Financial Group. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about strategy and leadership and how they do it here at IA and what Denis has learned about leadership during the pandemic.
Exclusive access to some of the most successful leaders out there. This is the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Today, I'm delighted to be in Quebec City speaking with Denis Ricard, CEO of the IA Financial Group. It's interesting that, what did you learn about leadership during the pandemic? Because you've been leading to a certain degree from home by Zoom. How has your leadership evolved, Denis? Or has it?
Yeah, it has evolved. It's been quite a change that to be closer, there are two things. To be closer, more empathic, okay? Closer to your people, more empathic. Listen more. I mean, more aware, more, awake of what's going on here, I would say. More than just technical stuff, but more personal stuff. I think it's important. The second thing is being a bit more direct, I would say directive in a sense, making sure that people understand what is in your head. Okay, because there's a lot of things going on in my head, but sometimes you take it for granted that people, know what I'm thinking or what the vision is in my head. So being a bit more, let's say, deliberate in terms of expressing where is it that we need to do, what are my expectations, what's the marching order is.
Okay.
I think that's it has changed during this pandemic. And I use the town hall. It's amazing in terms of communication. I used to do town hall, from time to time. You're going to Montreal, meeting Montreal employees, Vancouver, Toronto, U.S., Quebec City. It would take, forever. Now, immediately I can do I can decide next week, it's very something very important I need to say to all employees. Just organize it, 30 minutes, that's it. So in terms of culture, it's easier in this new world to, I would say, disseminate, explain, communicate the vision of the organization and communicate a culture that you want installed in the organization. It's going to go faster to some extent.
I wrote an article a few years ago, Never Explain, Never Apologize, Bad Ideas with Millennials. When you explain what you're doing so they understand your thinking, it's also partly is that they can argue with you then and go, Denis, love you, but your thinking may be off. Very respectful, but they're pointing out how you're falling short. Does that happen from time to time?
I welcome that. I want that. I want people to challenge me. And I get upset when, let's say, at the executive committee or any other meetings that, I ask a question and there's no answer, no answer or no question or no debate, I get upset. So I'm used to that. I've got four kids. They are between 30 and 37, okay? So I went through that. I've done that, you know, I know what it is. And I like it. I love it, by the way.
What improves your thinking? Now, there's two big schools of strategy. One is Mintzberg from McGill, which is more bottom up. And then there's deliberate strategy from Michael Porter at Harvard, which is you bring in McKinsey or BCG and the consultants, and it comes from your fertile imagination and your C-suite, and you kind of tell people. And that's kind of making it very, very black and white. How do you do strategy here at AI? Yep. Tell us about strategy.
Yeah, at IE, the way we do it, basically, is more the first. I would say that it's more the first option. Although, I must admit, I mean, I know about Porter. I read his books. I like his idea about, you know, getting the competitive advantage, you know, having, tactics that strengthen, you know, between each other, you know, they make the company stronger. And the examples in his famous article of HBR is pretty good on that. But at the end of the day, I'm more a leader that is trying to feed from the floor, feed from, let's say, our partners, feed from our employees, and come up with the best strategy. I am not, and sorry guys, but I am not a BCG or McKinsey or, you know, a leader that wants to have their opinion. Really, I read their articles, okay, that's fine. But I'm not going to spend, like, you know, a huge amount of time talking to those organizations. I would rather have a facilitator, like a one person that is going to facilitate the discussion between our leaders and being able to consult our employees and our partners.
Today, we're in Quebec City speaking with Denis Ricard, CEO of IAA Financial Group. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Uber comes along and has reinvented the taxi industry. Is there an Uber reinventing the insurance industry? Is there a disruptor that's out there that's going to change your world?
It's funny you ask the question because we've had over the years some board members that I thought we would be disrupted by some kind of, you know, insurance Uber type of companies. It never happened. And one of the reason is that our industry, it's funny that I admit that, but it's not a sexy industry, okay?
Yeah.
The car industry is a sexy industry. I mean, buying a car is fun. You're looking forward to it. Buying a protection product or like a life insurance product, I mean, you don't wake up in the morning saying, oh, today, you know, I'm so excited. I'm going to buy a life insurance company. And in fact, people don't even know what their needs are. How much do they need to save for their retirement? Yeah. How much life insurance they need? So you need someone, like the value of advice is so important. You need someone who's going to tell you, to some extent, what your needs are. That's not sexy, okay? Yep. So to some extent, all this digitalization that happened over the years that completely disrupted the retail industry, it's taking more time for our industry. I'm not saying that people will never buy insurance or savings product online. They already do to some extent, okay? Yep. But I'm saying it's taking more time. We have the luxury, a bit of time, to adjust our business model. We are doing that. I must tell you, when the pandemic hit, I was so scared that our distributors could not, you know, sell insurance products and serve our clients. You know what? We already had the tools. And in the industry, we're a leader. So distributors from other organizations joined us because they were able to continue doing their job, you know, and they were able to be even more productive. You know, if you live in Montreal and you've got a client in in Magog, okay, well, you need to drive there and you know, at night, and you're going to see only one client. But if you do it online, you can see maybe three or four clients the same night. And you know what? Clients are expecting that these days. So as an advisor, you become even more productive helping your clients, getting protected.
How do you see your role as a leader inside the community of Quebec City and Quebec? Are you involved in the philanthropy?
Yes. My personal objective is to be involved in at least two organizations per year. Foundations, and that's besides, let's say, being the president d'honneur or the honorary president of one event. So, for example, there's a hospital in Quebec. They have a 3-year campaign. And I'm a co-president of that organization. So I want to be at least with two every year. That's for one. And second, we have at IE a donation program that we invest about $8 million a year in different organizations in three areas. So we invest in education, health, and community. So that's...
Why do you feel this is important? Because it takes your eye off the being the CEO. Why is this a part of what the CEO does? Why would he or she do this?
You know what? It's funny you ask the question. We are not outside of the community. We are part of the community. And I think our employees are very proud that our organization is being involved in so many organizations, that we spend so much. I mean, we give them time to voluntary to some organization as well. Our people are looking for that. Our employees are looking for that. Our clients are looking for that. And even our investors these days are looking at our contribution to the social community, for example.
Today, I'm delighted to be in Quebec City speaking with Denis Ricard, CEO of the IA. That's not AI, but IA Financial Group. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. Next up, we'll talk about whether Denis is an introvert or extrovert and how he spends his free time. That doesn't sound like there's a lot of free time, but we'll talk about that.
They made it, and they're telling you how. You're listening to the CEO Series with Carl Moore on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hello again, I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. I'm sitting today in Quebec City with Denis Ricard, CEO of IA Financial Group, one of Canada's largest insurance and wealth management groups, with growing operations in the U.S. as well. So Denis, are you more of an introvert or extrovert?
Okay, when I was younger, I was introvert. And at some point in my career, especially when I worked in the marketing area, I kind of moved more towards extroverted. So I would think that I'm still a bit more introverted than extroverted, but I'm more balanced than I have ever been, I think.
Partly it's the requirements of the job. Now, actuarial science, and you know incredibly better than I do, is that a fair bit of the time you're by yourself analyzing data and looking at spreadsheets and things like that?
It's part of the job. It's about risk management at the end of the day.
But my theory is it tends to draw a bit more introverted people because the nature of what you're doing.
I agree. I mean, because of the nature, you're right. But I've seen all the spectrum. But if you do it like a distribution, you're absolutely right. There's more introverted than extroverted.
But as a CEO, you've got to act like an extrovert at times. So remember people's names, say, hey, I appreciate what you did, JF, the other day, things like that. Where if you just ignore them and by your own head, people go, ah, he's upset at me.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, as a leader, I mean, we come back to this leadership, a theme. When you are in charge of a sector or a company, whatever, you need to be aware. Awareness of what's going on around you. You cannot be in your expertise, every minute. In fact, that's probably the least thing you should do. In my role, I'm surrounding myself with A players, okay? And then I leave them alone. The best thing I can do is to leave my leader alone. They're doing their job, okay? So, and then I have time to think about the future of this organization. And the execution is being done by my direct reports. So,
How do you think about the future? I mean, you sit in your office and think deep thoughts, but do you also read stuff, go to conferences? Like, how do you keep an eye on the future out there?
I have to read stuff all the time. And I used to go to conference all the time. But, it's been a bit more difficult. But, I attend, virtual conference, things like that. Spend time thinking with my executive committee members. But you need to feed yourself with something and balanced ideas like challenge. And I do that also with the external people. Like I said, that, CEOs like me and in other, not only in the insurance industry. I mean, I'm a member of the Cercle des Présidents, the President's mm-hmm. Circle in Montreal yeah. and Quebec City. And we exchange ideas on a lot of things like, war on talents. Things that have nothing to do with the necessarily the business.
Is there a war for talent? And there's a lot of people, I have CEOs asking me to send them students, which they've never done before. Here in Quebec City and across Canada and the U.S., do you see a war for talent these days?
It's amazing. I've never seen that. Okay, just in Quebec City, where we've got maybe half of our employees, the unemployment rate is at 2.5%. And it's been there for a long time already. Now, the good news is for us, and there's a good and bad news, this hybrid new world that is coming allows us to recruit from anywhere. But obviously, anybody from anywhere can recruit from Quebec City, right? So to some extent, we've lost people to external organizations, but at the same time, we can, you know, recruit people from anywhere in the province here or in the country. So, but the reality is that it's very difficult to recruit people. There's a lack of manpower. We need to be creative. We're going to invest significantly in technology to, obviously be able to withstand that scarcity. And some of the job, let's say, especially on the admin side, at some point will transfer into robotization, for example, AI, things like that. We have no choice at the end of the day.
Today, we're in Quebec City speaking with Denis Ricard, CEO of IAA Financial Group. I'm Carl Moore from McGill University, and you're listening to the CEO Series. I just finished a book on Generation Z. I'm arguing that you and I should be reverse mentored by Zs and millennials. So you have four millennial kids. What are you learning from them these days?
I am learning about, like I said before, they become very quickly bored with, let's say, routine stuff. That's what I learned. They are eager to learn all the time. So keep them in a challenge in their organization. I see that. I mean, sometimes they complain, okay, I've been doing that for 2 years. I'm getting kind of tired. Okay, so raise your hand and ask for something else. And, you know, they've done that. And I think it's the opportunity of everyone at some point to raise their hands and say, you know, I'm a bit bored. I'm not really growing, or I have this impression that I'm not growing, and then talk to your leader, and then there's going to be a change. If you don't raise your hand, there's not going to be a change.
How do you recharge? I think many of us at the beginning of the pandemic just worked all the time, particularly CEOs, because it was really important. Your wife might have said at a certain point, Denis, calm down. Like,
she did.
Did you ever have that conversation?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, big time. In fact, I mean, the pandemic to me has been hitting a wall, and I found it very difficult emotionally because I realized that I was in a train that was going like 120 kilometers an hour.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it stopped completely, and you bump your head in the engine, and you say, oh my God, okay, what am I doing here? So there's a lot of reading and questioning that arose from that pandemic in terms of, you know, even the purpose of your life. I mean, personally, okay, you ask yourself, why am I here? Okay. So it's been a game changing for me, this pandemic.
How do you recharge at the end of a day?
Going into nature and reading. That would be the two things that I would say. I love nature.
And you're close to parks and nature here in Quebec City.
Well, there are parks in Quebec City. I live in a countryside, so at the same time, so I'm close to the nature. I like go running. Okay. I do exercise. I do 10Ks. I guess during the pandemic, I did less than usually, but before the pandemic, I used to do like 4 or 5 10Ks a year. So I trained myself for that. And when you exercise, you know, you forget everything.
JF and I are slightly irritated by your athletic prowess here. No, I think we're both slightly jealous, but it's a good example. But our kids are younger, you know, I think on our defense, but, you're a saxophonist. What's your favorite kind of music, and who's your favorite saxophone player?
It's Paul Resman, Paul Desmond.
Okay.
And Paul Desmond is a saxophone player for, if you know, the Dave Brubeck quartet.
Yeah, sure, of course.
I listen to his music. I'm more on the jazz side than, let's say, the classical side, although I do more classical than jazz, I must admit. But I used to be part of a band in the 80s. I was a jazz, band. We were 7 musicians, and in fact, we won at the time the Cégep en spectacle for the province of Quebec.
Okay, wow.
And we played in weddings and stuff like that. We had a lot of fun at the time.
Now, so mathematics in high school and Cégep, then actuarial science at Laval. Like, it makes sense that you're more of an interpreter rather than the improviser, because your mind is, and then it has its great strengths, occasional weaknesses, but it just makes sense. What book are you reading right now, Denis?
It's a book that it's been given to me by one of my direct reports. It's from Ray Dalio. It's The Changing World. I can't remember exactly.
You know, I have the same book as well.
Okay, so good.
This is the CO Series. Denis, thank you for joining us today. We'd like to thank our technical producer, Marco Campagna. It was great to see him recently after 2 years of not running into each other. And our show producer, Youssef Sahoni. Thank you for tuning into the CO Series. À la prochaine.